You're listening to Nick Luck Daily, bringing you the latest news and the best interviews from around the world of horse racing. This episode is brought to you by the Racehorse Owners Association, by Thoroughbred Racing Commentary's Global Rankings in partnership with the Saudi Cup, and by the Fitzdares Club. Hi there, welcome to the show, bringing you the latest news and sharpest insight from around the racing world every weekday. It is Monday, October the 26th, the glorious autumn morning here in TW11, and much to be cheery about with the delights of the Melbourne Cup, albeit behind closed doors, and the Breeders' Cup, likewise, just around the corner. We'll be building to those events through the next 10-14 days, and quite a bit to look back on as well, with the jumps action really getting into full swing here in Britain, and still the last knockings of the European Group 1 season on the flat, the Virtan Futurity at Doncaster, and perhaps most notably in terms of human achievement, a brace of Group 1 victories as a breeder for trainer Jim Bolger, and a brace as a trainer for Mark Johnston, who trained one of the horses that Jim bred, Gear Up, and then doubled up with Subjectivist in the pre-Royal Oak yesterday. These were Johnston's first Group 1 winners since 2016, when the Last Lion won the Middle Park Stakes. As his son and assistant, to whom I will be speaking in a moment, Charlie, said, it's like the London bus syndrome. You wait so long for one, and then two come along at once. This was a most notable achievement, and seems, Rishi Prasad, like a good place to kick off today.
Absolutely. Well, it's quite surprising, I must say, Nick, that it's taken him that long to get back on the Group 1 trail again, considering the strength that he's had, yes, with numbers, but he's also had some pretty smart horses in that time, but he's fallen short at the Group 1 level until this fabulous weekend that he's just had. Gear Up, the two-year-old, I've always felt he's quite an exciting horse, and he was a little bit disappointing at Newmarket two starts back. I thought James Doyle gave him a brilliant ride to win that Group 1, really aggressive, and kept him, when other horses were coming to challenge, kept him interested. He kept moving, shifting him from one side to the other to just keep his interest up. And he's an exciting horse for next year, because I think he's still got lots of improvement. And as for Subjectivist, beautiful campaign this season, considering, you know, obviously the truncated nature, and a horse that looks like he might be better next year as well. A little mention as well for the breeder of Subjectivist, Susan Hearn, Barry Hearn's wife, who's only got a very small breeding operation, but has produced some remarkable results so far. Obviously, the family of Subjectivist, including Sir Ron Priestley, etc. But the likes of Urban Fox, who obviously sold for a lot of money and is a Group 1 winner. And obviously, people quite automatically try to think that Barry Hearn will get interested in racing in a significant way because of his wife's success. But Barry's pretty keen to stay away and leave it all to his wife, who seems to be doing pretty well without too much help from the great man at the moment.
And a very good ride from Joe Fanning on Subjectivist to win the Royal Oak.
Yeah, it's the sort of ride that Joe has become synonymous with over the years, particularly, I know, on Mark Johnston horses, where they roll out in front and they find more. But he got it absolutely spot on. I'm not quite sure that Princess Zoe was at her best, because she had a hard race when she won previously in France under Joey Sheridan. I don't think she quite picked up in the same style. But basically, Joe exploited everybody else's issues in the race, being the ground and obviously trying to make up ground, make up distance in that ground in the closing stages. And great for a stalwart like Joe Fanning to have a Group 1 winner as well.
Well, I've been talking to Charlie Johnston, son and assistant, well, more than assistant, to Father Mark, and I began by asking him, after this tremendous weekend of success, how it had affected the atmosphere around Kingsley House this morning.
Yeah, very very special, although, yeah, slightly odd, obviously, in these current times. I think normally we would always have a party for a Group 1 winner, and trying to choose six of our 120 staff to have a party with would have been a tough decision. But yeah, those sort of things will have to wait for different times. But yeah, very special for the whole team, and a great buzz this whole weekend.
It's a strange sort of weekend as well, because Champions Day is finished and gone, yet there are still European Group 1s to be won, and it's not straightforward to do so, particularly in such
demanding circumstances and difficult conditions. When you went into the weekend, what were you expecting of Gear Up and Subjectivist?
To be honest, if you sort of asked me 3 or 4 weeks ago, both horses' primary target probably was at home. Subjectivist, initially, we were planning to go to Ascot to the Champion Stayers, and Gear Up probably to the Virgin Futurity. I was on the phone to Dr. Jim at sort of 9:45 last Thursday, and obviously no one really expected Stradivarius to run in the Champion Stayers for the last sort of 6 weeks with the Ark as his target. And when he was rerouted there and Aidan declared quite a big team in the long distance cup, we thought the Royal Oak might cut up and be an easier option, and that's how it proved. And sort of similarly with Gear Up, after the Acom, the Royal Lodge and then the Futurity was the obvious path for the horse. And although we sort of felt we had valid excuses in the Royal Lodge for how the race was ran and it wasn't really an adequate test of stamina, it still probably partially dented our confidence, and we thought we'd take the slightly more guaranteed stamina test route of Saint-Cloud rather than Doncaster. And I was a bit tense when I saw Wembley getting withdrawn half an hour before, thinking maybe we should have been in Doncaster. But both changes of plan worked out fantastically well.
And Charlie, some wonderful associated stories with this Group 1 double. First of all, Subjectivist, your long-standing rider Joe Fanning, your enduring relationship bearing yet more fruit. And also the fact that Jim Bolger, fellow trainer, bred the first of them, Gear Up, which must have given him an awful lot of pleasure.
Yeah, fantastic. We went to the Fairy House sales that were relocated in Newmarket this year. Very keen to buy Gear Up's brother. But obviously Jim had bred again and consigned by his granddaughter, Claire. With the Team Valley Syndicate willing to go quite strong, and he made what seemed an astronomical, I think it was 350,000 to go to the Hong Kong Jockey Club. So we've been following buying horses from Jim's breeding operation for a long time, and Gear Up has been a real success, and obviously Subjectivist also by Teofilo as well, and like you say, many great storylines behind him for Joe having another Group 1 winner at 50, and obviously a family that means a huge amount to us. Sir Ron Priestley ahead of him, who sadly has missed most of this year through injury, but will hopefully be back next year. And then behind Subjectivist, we have his 2-year-old half-sister, Alba Rose, who will run in the Montrose on Saturday. And Susan Hearn has kindly sent us the Ulysses yearling this year, so we have all four from the mare reckoning. So real special family to us.
So it's a story that's going to carry on, and this Group 1 double is going to keep your team much warmer through the winter, I would have thought, because you can dream about some of the lovely races you can target next year with these horses. I guess Subjectivist, it's obvious route to the Gold Cup, which you've won before. What about Gear Up?
Yeah, as we were discussing in the aftermath, once you've won a Group 1 over that distance at 2, your only options really next year are either to come back in trip or to come down in grade quite dramatically. There is nothing else before the Derby, essentially, at either Group 1 level or over that kind of distance. So I think the logical plan is that he'll run in the Dante, having won twice at York already, and then all being well, go on to the Dante. He screams to me that he's a ledger horse in the long run, but he's a Group 1 winning 2-year-old, and he deserves a first half of the season campaign that revolves around the Derby.
Well, congratulations to Charlie Johnston, to Mark Johnston, their first brace of Group 1s for 4 years, courtesy of Subjectivist, and Gear Up in the two big Group 1s in Paris over the weekend. Let's talk about the jumps action, Rishi, because you and I were both at Cheltenham for their showcase meeting, which threw up a lot of interesting political questions. But let's deal with the race course first, and a sparkling performance from Frodon and Bryony Frost, I think, will have kick-started the season in good fashion for most people.
Yeah, and it needed that, didn't it? When turning up at Cheltenham, we always expect a very, very strong atmosphere, lots of people chatting about the future. And although there were people doing just that, the last time people had raced at Cheltenham was, of course, or the racecourse had hosted racing was at the festival. So it's been a long time, a lot of chat in between, and we needed something on the track to distract from, you know, all the issues that have ensued in the interim. And Froden provided just that. Not just Froden, there were a couple of very, very smart performances. I think you and I were both taken by Rouge Vif on the Friday and Froden on the Saturday. He has just got the most wonderful way of going around Cheltenham better than any other racecourse. He just measures his fences so beautifully. Bryony looks like she doesn't make much of an effort on him when he's jumping as well as he does. Amazing record at Cheltenham. I think 6 wins now at the course. Quick story, Nick, on Saturday morning, before we went on there for the opening show on ITV, Paul Nicholls was the guest, and I had put up Froden as my selection. I know after timing now, but I'd put him up as my selection for the day. And Paul suggested that he may need it, and it might be wise to change my selection, which obviously I did. And as soon as I did, you know, that everybody then shouted in my ear, you know what's going to happen now. And it did transpire that. So the reason why I'm telling that story is not just obviously to go, I was going to select Froden, but it was to say that I'm pretty certain, judged by Paul Nicholls, the 11 times champion trainer who knows about these things, that the horse might conceivably improve for that run, which I think some people might say might be hard to believe considering he won off 1.64 and he's beaten a fair field. But I think it's possible that he could get better this season, which he'll need to if he is going to be a realistic Gold Cup contender. That's obviously what they were talking about after the race. But it was a day that brought a smile and a tear to my face.
I think Rishi Honest Vic, the winner of the big hurdle race on Saturday, deserves a mention as well. How far do you think he could go?
Yeah, and he looked more honest, if that's the right word to use, in the way he finished off that race in the Potemps handicap hurdle, because there have been times where he has looked an awkward customer. When I was speaking to Richard Patrick after the race, he was saying that, you know, he buried him once at Kempton, but he looked far more of an enthusiastic, straightforward individual. And actually, you know, the way he quickened away up the hill, coming up the straight, having travelled so nicely, was pretty impressive. And great success as well for his trainer, Henry Daly, and a poignant one for the family.
Rich, let's turn our attention to matters international. Australia, first of all, and sad news that Wichita, the 2000 Guineas runner-up, has had to be humanely euthanized after complications following surgery. It was thought that he was going to be okay, but this has added to a catalogue of woes for Aidan O'Brien this autumn.
No, it has been a very challenging time for Aidan O'Brien off the track, on the track. And this is as sad as you can get, this news that any horse has suffered a career ending and ultimately fatal injury. Wichita, very good 2-year-old, consistent 3-year-old who's had, you know, had a pretty tough campaign and looked as good as ever when he won at Doncaster before heading out to Australia. So extremely sad news. Condolences, of course, to everybody involved. But Aidan O'Brien, I know we say that he's going through some tough times. It is amazing, though, that he's still continuing to string together Group 1 winners and producing the 2-year-olds who are the next horses to take over. You know, it has been a tough time. What happened in France, what happened with the feed, etc., and now this. But, you know, he did have the first 2 home in the Dewhurst.
And, of course, he could still win the Melbourne Cup with Anthony van Dyck, who ran such a great race in Caulfield.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Anthony van Dyck. I thought it was an excellent run. I mean, so much he had to overcome apart from the weight and the draw. And he finished off his race really strongly, which bodes well for the Melbourne Cup. And given the way the season's unfolded, what he did first time up behind Gaeth and Stradivarius, I'd love to see him go on to win the Melbourne Cup at the end of it. And of course, the novelty of a Derby winner, even A, racing in Australia, and B, winning the Melbourne Cup, I think would go down really well in Australia personally. I think they would love that sort of thing to happen.
But most of the Aussies, including Jason Richardson, who's been corresponding to this program, think that Tiger Moth is the one for Aidan. He'll be ridden by Kieran McAvoy.
I mean, he might well be. Of course, he comes from the three-year-old crop this year, which I think is decent, but it's not certainly in the middle distance category. I don't personally think it's that strong. So even though he will have obviously a great chance, and interesting reading the thoughts of Kerry McAvoy, which obviously bodes well that someone of his ilk is desperate to ride the horse, that's fine. But I just feel that the three-year-olds this year, certainly in middle distance category, haven't been as strong as in previous years, and therefore I'm sticking with the 3-year-old from last year, now for Anthony Van Dyke.
And if we think it's weird that Cheltenham was run behind closed doors, not as weird, I'd suggest that Flemington will be run behind closed doors on Cup Day.
Well, I don't know how. I look forward to seeing, in one sense, how the broadcasters are going to how the broadcasters are going to cover that meeting, because it has been obviously throughout history a race meeting that has benefited greatly from the atmosphere, the crowds, the colour, the passion that's involved on Melbourne Cup Day, and that's only from watching it. I mean, I've never been there, but it is, anyone who's been there attests to exactly that. So it's going to be awkward watching. It's going to be awkward being there, but ultimately we're there for the action on the track, and hopefully the race will distract from the potentially eerie atmosphere that's going to be there at Flemington.
And any ideas about which horses you like for the Breeders' Cup? That team is just starting to take shape now.
I quite like, the first thought is, lucky, I quite like Medea of John Gosden's. I thought she ran a terrific race over a distance that probably stretched her in that ground that at Ascot on Champions Day, where she travelled beautifully into the straight, and a strong stay, a horse in form, wonderful tonight, powered away from her. But I thought, you know, it was an excellent run after a layoff, and I think that she will have a massive chance. I think John Gosden's got possibly Terrabellum as well for that Filly and Mare turf race. So I would hope that Frankie chooses Medea, because that might be an indication that she is ready to win at last.
Well, Frankie may well be riding Medea. He will almost certainly be riding New Mandate for his good friend Mark Chan and trainer Rafe Beckett in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Colt. Beckett may well be double-handed because he also has Devil Wale in the race, the fourth in the Dewhurst Stakes at Newmarket. I've been talking to the trainer and I reminded him that it was now 12 years since Muhannak and the much-missed Pat Smullen came storming home to victory in the Breeders' Cup Marathon.
I know, a lot of water under the bridge since then, and it gave us a great day, one of my favourite days ever.
Why was it so special?
Well, because he was a complete rogue, the horse. You know, he wouldn't, when he arrived with us from McEasterby, he wouldn't go on the gallop, and when we got him on the gallop, he wouldn't get off it. And within 4 months, his Brazilian work rider and Pat Smullen had turned him into a Breeders' Cup winner. So it was an interesting road.
I mean, he was a quirky horse in a quirky race. It was very much of its time on the pro ride there in California. Everything's a bit more conventional on the racetrack, but unconventional off it now. Just as far as getting your two horses to the Breeders' Cup, are logistics all as straightforward as you could hope?
Yeah, pretty much. The authorities have been good and helpful, and transporters are right on the money. Like Grey have been doing a good job for us over the years, and I'm sure they'll do a good job for us this time.
We'll be transporting a number of the horses to the Breeders' Cup, including your two in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Very exciting new mandate, and the perhaps equally exciting Devil Whirler on ratings. Anyway, let's talk about New Mandate first, who's already gelded. His form is working out really well. How's he done since his Newmarket win?
Yes, very happy with him. I think, you know, he's, if anything, he's in as good a shape as he was going to Newmarket. And, you know, we're looking forward to it.
He's a horse who has a sparkling turn of foot, which should stand him in good stead in Kentucky. He's been a little keen in the early part of his races. Do you think he's settling down a little?
Yes. We're seeing it at home in his work, certainly. So, yeah, he's definitely going the right way in that sense as he gets more experience under his belt.
Frankie Dettori has built up a rapport with him, and he's got a rapport with the owner. Is he definitely going to ride him?
He rides, yeah. And as you point out, you know, he understands the horse very well now. So a good fit. It's gonna that part is as Frankie said, you train him and I'll ride him.
Yeah.
So that looking forward to that.
Is he definitively the better of your two? You've not had Devil Wala that long, but on his first start for you, he ran a tremendous race to finish fourth in his Group One.
Devil Wala is a difficult horse to read, Nick, because he hides his light under a bushel at home. It was definitely his owner's call to run him in the Dewhurst. I was going along for the ride there, and astonished to see him run as well as he did. And so at home you wouldn't put Devil Wala and New Mandate in the same piece of work, for fear of remembering what did happen. Devil Wala, obviously, you know, he's a tough, hardy fellow now. He was a breeze up horse, and I'm his second trainer. He takes it all pretty much in his stride, and I suspect that's why he doesn't knock himself out at home.
So he might just be an interesting surprise package. Am I right in thinking that young Ross Orion is going to keep the ride?
Yeah, he's retained by the owner, so he rides.
And that's a big day for him, isn't it? A Breeders' Cup ride at such an early stage of his career.
Yeah, it certainly is. But he's been riding very well of late. He's fixed in here very well. You know, he's been riding out here for all year, and he's ridden a bunch of winners for us. So I've no problems with that at all.
And are you going to go over as well?
Yeah, I'll be going to, yeah, next Monday.
I'd imagine you're looking forward to it. I mean, they're two horses with interesting chances.
Yeah, very much so. If you don't look forward to days like this, there's no point doing it, is there?
Rafe, thanks for talking to me.
All the best.
My thanks to Rafe Beckett, and while we're on the subject of the Breeders' Cup, it's worth reminding you that the first foals of Oscar Performance are about to be presented in the November breeding stock sales. Oscar Performance, former Breeders' Cup champion by Kitten's Joy out of Theatrical Mare Divine Actress, a Grade 1 winner at 2, 3 and 4. At 4 also set the world record at 1 mile on the turf at Belmont Park in 1:31.23, and all his races were won without any race day medication. Well, thanks to all my guests this morning. Rishi is still with me to give you a tip to start the week off in fine fashion.
Going in the 2:35 at Leicester, lucky for Wal Han of Ian Williams. He's had some really good runs this season, has won on very testing ground in France, and it's the first time he's going to run on ground quite as testing in the UK today at Leicester. So I'm hoping that in a relative drop in grade for Wal Han, he can get his head in front for the first time in Britain.
Rishi, thanks so much. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, if you do enjoy this podcast, tell your friends, give us a rating, a review us, and subscribe on SoundCloud, Spotify, Google, iTunes, and just about everywhere else. We will see you at the same time tomorrow. That was Monday, October the 26th. Bye-bye. You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you in association with Fitzdares, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary.